And now we're ready to move into chapter 6 of Genesis. And we'd like to read the first two verses of chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Moral and spiritual conditions in the world before the flood deteriorated as the years passed, not only among the Canaanites, but also among the Sethites as well. Except for those patriarchs in the line of descent of the promised seed, materialism and ungodliness abounded, while only the small remnant connected with the promised seed remained faithful to the living God. There may have been some who listened to the teaching of such men as Enoch, who were faithful, but died before the flood came. But in every age, God has had a remnant who were faithful. This was true during the patriarchal age. It was true during the Mosaical law. True there while in the wilderness. True during the Babylonian captivity. During the return to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. During the time of Christ. During the early age of the church. During the middle and dark ages. And during the present day. And it will be true in the time of the end. But as this wickedness abounded in the days of Noah, a strange and terrible event took place which led rapidly to such a surge of violence and wickedness over the earth that there was no longer any remedy but utter destruction. The Bible says the sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them as their wives, the children of such unions being giants in the earth. Mighty men who were well known for the fact that they were monsters in size and in wickedness. Let us again read the first two verses of Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. This has been a very difficult passage for Bible scholars to understand. The big question is, who were the sons of God? Several theories have been advanced trying to explain these verses. One theory is that the sons of God were fallen angels, and the daughters of men were mortal humans. The wickedness for which they are condemned is the unlawful marriage between supernatural beings and human beings. They assume that when Jude 6 and 7 refers to the angels which kept not their first estate, that this refers to these fallen angels. However, Jesus said in Matthew 22:30 that the angels of God in heaven do not marry. To assume that supernatural beings possess a body which could cohabit with natural beings and produce children is an assumption I'm not ready to make. Another theory, which has recently been proposed, is that the sons of God were fallen angels who simply possessed the bodies of humans and caused the production of genetically engineered offspring, which were referred to as giants. And again, the fallen angels in Jude are these angels. The proponents of this theory give some very elaborate arguments to support their doctrine, even to the point of suggesting that the so-called modern devil worship and unidentified flying objects may be a recurrence of the events before the flood. Again, I feel that this theory does not stand on solid ground. Still another theory, which is gaining popularity, is that the sons of God were immoral human kings who used their power to take as many women and whatsoever women they chose. It must be noted that the scriptures never describe human rulers, though, as deities. Yet a more rational view of these verses is that the sons of God are the godly line of Seth, while the daughters of men are in the line of Cain. Thus, the sin here is a very common one taught about in the Bible, the intermarriage of the chosen people of God, the believers, with non-believers. The practice of believers marrying non-believers is something frequently taught against in the Bible. This was forbidden to Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 2 through 6, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away the son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." This practice of intermarriage was the cause of Solomon's fall. In 1 Kings 11:1-4, But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidianites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. This practice of marrying non-believers caused much grief to the Jews after their return out of Babylon. We read in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the case where the people who had gone back to Jerusalem had married the heathenistic people round about them. And let's notice what Ezra says. Ezra 9, verse 1 through 3, Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the prince and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. So Ezra was very upset about this, and they even made those people who had engaged in those marriages give up their families, give up their wives, and separate themselves from them, and it caused a lot of great consternation among the people. But it was all because they had not obeyed God's basic law here of remaining separate from the non-believers in the state of marriage. And this practice is plainly taught against in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Here's talking about a widow whose husband is dead, of course. That's the only thing that breaks the marriage tie. She's at liberty to be married to who she will, only in the Lord. So it's stipulated that when the widow remarried, she can only marry in the Lord. And this would be true, of course, of men in the same state, because the only authority that men would have to remarry anywhere in the New Testament is found right here in this verse, talking about the widow. And it also would apply to all who are marrying, for the first time or not. They would need to follow this same example here of replying to the widow, in which she could only be married in the Lord. Christians should only marry in the Lord. We must close our lesson at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.